Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Hey, welcome back to another Sunday Night Live. I am excited. We have Pastor Aaron Mercer here with us. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. First of the year.
Yeah.
You got any New Year's resolutions?
No, I quit that. I quit that because I never keep them.
I don't either. So, kicking off on the new year and got anything new going on?
Or? You know, one of the things that I'm excited about is the new series we're talking about. And so, years ago, I don't know how many years, I stopped doing New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to do this much, and I'm going to do that much. And I just say, look, my goal this year is to make some progress. And I don't, I'm not going to put, you know, I'm going to lose 50 pounds and go to the gym every single day. And I'm not going to do that. How about I'm not going to gain any more weight this year than what I got now. I'm just going to maintain, and I'm going to try to be a little more healthy. Instead of eating ice cream twice a day, I'm only eat ice cream once a day. You know, just
okay,
let's
like
start
that.
Making some progress, right? We don't have to just change it all. That's what we do. It's New Year. I'm gonna be a totally different. I've even preached series New Year, New Me. No, well, don't worry about that. Why don't you just make whatever progress you can make today, and see where you are a year from now. Make a little progress today. See where you are for a year from now. So that's sort of what the series is about. Is what can we do to go closer to God, to be stronger, to be more healthy, whatever the Lord is saying to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then do that, you know. And like one of the big things that I try to do every year is if there's something going on in my life and I'm not receiving life from it, like it's draining me and I'm hating every second of it, then I'm like, how can we not do that? Or how can we do that differently? You know, because there's things that we hate that we have to do, right?
Yeah.
You can't just not do anything you hate. But if it's just continually draining who you are, then maybe we ought to rethink, why am I doing this, right? And what can I do differently so that it's not that I don't feel this way about it or whatever. So it's just about making small little steps of progress. A little at a time is how you change and how you make progress.
That's good. You know, do you think that when we... Going back to the New Year's resolution, which we're being in January, we're all still thinking about these new things, and we've been talking about it for the last several shows. But do you think that we set ourselves up for failure?
That's exactly what we do, because we bite off more than we can chew, right?
Mm-hmm.
To say, for Aaron Mercer to say, I am not eating any Bluebell ice cream this year, that'd be stupid for me to say that. There's no way I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Right? There's no way I'm doing that.
Yeah.
And so just saying, what can I do that's obtainable, right? I'm going to lose 50 pounds. Well, what would happen if you lost 10? What would happen if you lost 20? You know, or whatever. Why do we have these lofty goals that we're going to get out and we're going to work out every single day? Well, what if you work out twice a month? I mean, what can you do? And so that's how you set yourself up for failures. You make these impossible goals that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And so then, okay, so you say, all right, I'm not going to eat any ice cream. And then you go 10 days and then you're eating ice cream. You're like, well, there that goes. It's broken.
Well, I'm done. Yeah.
Well, what if you just get back on the horse and tomorrow and say, you know what? Hey, I had a little stumble, but I'm going to get right back on, right? I'm going to do something different. And just like the healthy choices, one of the things, and I know we're right here in the first year, one of the things that's helping me, I'm trying to eat healthier, I'm trying to be different, do different things, not lofty, unobtainable goals, but I'm saying, okay, what if, how can I build in a way to win instead of a way to lose? You know, saying, I'm not going to eat any more junk food, or I'm not going to have any more ice cream, or I'm going to work out every day. Those are impossible goals. You're not going to do that. But what if I say, you know what, I'm going to do some cheat days. I'm going to eat healthy, and I'm going to do right, but every 10 days, I'm going to have a cheat day, and I am going off. You know what I mean? And then you can get right back on, and you build those things so you look forward to that cheat day, right? And then, so you build in those reward systems. Because what we normally do is we're real good at being hard on ourselves and not very good at rewarding ourselves. Not being very good about saying, you know what? I did pretty good. Oh, I think I'm going to go get myself a milkshake. I've been 10 days. I've ate great next time, 10 days. I'm going to go get a milkshake. And don't be condemned about it. Enjoy that. Reward yourself. You know, just, it's like what we do with our kids. Hey man, you get all straight A's. I'm going to take you to Synergy, you know, next report card. And you think, you know, well, is that wrong? Right? Well, hey, they work hard. They want to go to that. They see that reward, so it helps them. I need to do this right. I need to do that. So build those things into your life, right?
Yes.
You know, here I am a pastor. People say, I'm going to read my Bible every day this year. Hey, guess what? I'm a pastor of a church. Natalie, elder of the church. I promise you, we don't read our Bible every day. Don't tell people that. But we don't. We don't read our Bible every day.
Don't tell anybody. Yes.
But generally speaking, we're moving toward God. We're reading our Bible. We're in the Word. Your husband was sharing and ministering this last Sunday and said, hey, man, I haven't been praying too much here lately. I just hadn't felt good, so I hadn't been praying. You know, so, and oh my gosh, an elder church, don't pray. We don't pray every day either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we're generally moving in a direction, right?
That's right.
And so that's the name of the game. As you're going through the year, what direction are you moving in? Are you moving forward? Are you slowly moving backwards? A failure doesn't mean you're moving backwards. It just means I got to get up tomorrow and do it again. And I'm moving toward God, okay? And I'm moving toward the place that I want to be, whether it be in my marriage or my health or my children, or am I moving forward? I might be moving slow. I might be crawling. I might be dragging myself. But am I moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm moving forward. And so don't be so hard on yourself that when you have those stumbles or you just don't feel good or you're just lazy for the weekend. Okay, the world's not going to end because you didn't want to get out of your pajamas on Saturday. Thank God that your schedule opened up, that you had the opportunity to stay in your pajamas on Saturday. One of my favorite things to do when I get to do it, when nothing's going on and I don't have to get dressed for the day. So is that okay to say?
I know. Why do we, and when we do it,
yeah,
we sit there in guilt.
Yeah, we feel.
It's like we can't even enjoy it.
That's
we're
right.
Sitting like, oh gosh, I need to go do those dishes, or I need to go.
That's
do
right.
And it's okay.
And it's okay. Just get into a rhythm and a flow where you are resting and recharging, and you're moving forward. You know, it says that about Jesus all through his life. Of 33 and a half years as he was ministering, when he started his ministry, it says many places in scripture, Jesus went away by himself to a solitary place.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed to come back and recharge and reset himself to go forward the next time, the next day or a day or two. So don't feel bad if you, how about this one? You want to take away for the weekend and take off and you miss church on a Sunday.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, no problem. Wherever you are receiving life, wherever you are receiving blessing, then do that, right? But if there's things in your life that's sucking that life and that blessing out of you, then check that and say, hey, is that something that I need to be involved in, right? Is that something that I want to do? And so, you know, I'm reminded when Blaze was playing basketball last year, he wanted to try it out. He played basketball. He hated every second of it. He didn't want to go. He hated going.
Yes.
He hated going to practice. It was hell for him from day one.
Yeah.
And so we went through it. We finished it. And I asked him this year, he said, and I said, hey, you want to play basketball? And his first words were, do I have to play? Because I made him do all those other things while he, when he committed to it. I said, no, you don't have to. He said, oh, I'm not. So if it does not bring life to you, reevaluate it. You know, it's like when Philip was living with us, we raised our brother-in-law from the time I think he was 12 until he was 19. He was in our house, and he wanted to show animals. Okay, he wanted to show pigs and do all this. Listen, I would rather be poked in the eye with something sharp than do show animals. I hate every second of it. I hate cleaning it. I hate working with it. I hate feeding the whole thing. But Philip enjoyed it, so we did it. And so I would, unless my boys will do it, I will never do that. Lord willing, from now till I get to heaven, I will never be involved in showing animals again. But if it brings life to you, and it brings life to your family, and you guys love shearing the sheep and cleaning, doing all that, and practicing and going to the shows and doing all that, and it brings your family together, by the time we got done showing and feeding and practicing, we hated each other's guts. It didn't bring life to us, right?
Yeah.
But if it brings...
Or the animal gets out.
That's right. The animal takes off. But if it brings life to you and it brings your family together and you enjoy doing it, by all means, keep doing it. But it's about looking at your life and doing this inventory and saying, do I want to be here this time next year? And what little steps can I take to be better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to do different. And so, you know, and just taking those little baby steps a little at a time. And then that's how we grow. That's how we get stronger. That's how we get healthier. That's how our marriage, we win in our marriage. We win in our relationships, doing those little things a little bit at a time. And so that's kind of been my theme for the last several years. And so that's what I did with the series. Just take the certain things that I watch out for, the certain things that I do concerning scripture and all the different things like that. And then, so I've just sort of just been building that out, because I think we have this idea of following God, serving Jesus. We have to do all these things right.
The requirements. You know? We got to follow all the requirements.
We do. And we just put ourselves under the law. We put ourselves under condemnation. You know, and I always say this, but like, you see these people on Facebook, right? And I almost call them losers. I don't want to call that. But they'll be on there. You know, you're still laying in the bed, haven't even got up, and you're scrolling through your phone, and some yahoo has already been at the gym, you know, and he's showing himself working down here at the gym, pumping iron, you know,
yeah.
He does a selfie of himself in the gym. You instantly hate his guts, right?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. He don't put the morning on that he stayed in bed and didn't go to the gym.
Yeah.
That don't
there
make
was
it,
one.
There
too.
Was one. There was a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that don't go on the Facebook reel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to judge everything. Well, boy, they are doing so good. They are doing so amazing. They're just really killing it. No, they only put their highlights on the Facebook feed. They don't put their failures, right?
That's right.
You know, we don't put all that. And so what you have to do, what we have to do personally as people, is just what little steps can I take in this particular area to make progress this year, this week, today? You know, and one of my big things that I'm trying to get done this year is, like, we said it about the New Year's resolutions, but when I'm trying to eat healthy and do healthy, if I have a snack or have something that's not healthy, then I'm like, well, this day screwed up, man, and then I just hit it hard, man. I hit all the ice cream.
Oh, I know. And that's what I was just sitting here thinking.
Yeah, and I just mess it all up, right?
Well, I'm going to eat it all.
That's
much
right.
As I can.
I'm going to mess this day up. So I'm going to have everything. So what if you do have a candy bar, but that's all you have that day? Instead of going and getting a candy bar and the ice cream and drinking a soda, what if you say, you know what, I had a candy bar at lunch, but I'm going to finish the day strong.
And not wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, not wait till tomorrow. And don't feel bad about having a candy bar at lunch. If you want a candy bar, eat it. Just try not to eat five.
Well, since we went back to that, it makes me think of, because, and I know we're using weight loss as
yeah,
a
that's
reference.
Just what I'm in on. I'm in on it right now. I'm going to have to lose weight or buy new pants. So that's what's in my mind.
But if you think about any particular goal.
Anything.
Any particular goal you're reaching for. And so going back to weight loss, you know, if you talk to anybody that's been successful in losing a lot of weight,
yeah,
what is the one thing they tell you to do that when you mess up, just start over?
Start over.
Because when you don't start over and you stay messed up, you're not going to reach that goal.
You're not.
And so when you mess up, you start over
yeah,
and you keep going. And then when you mess up again, you start over and mm-hmm, then you keep going. And
it.
That's what you do. That's how you reach that goal
yeah,
instead of getting stuck in the mess up.
I love that. And you know, Sonny and I were just talking about this. A lot of us at our church are doing the Bible recap on the YouVersion, going through the Bible in a year with this podcast that YouVersion has. And it's really, really good. But Sonia, she's liking to go through and she makes notes and she has this journal. So she kind of will get behind and then she'll have to spend 2 hours the next day, you know, trying to catch up. And so we were talking about it, and I said, well, what if it took you, like, this is a Bible in a year, but what if it took you till next June to completely finish it? Okay, maybe you didn't get the Bible done in a year. Maybe you got it done in a year and a half. Isn't that good? Isn't that exciting that you did the whole Bible?
You
did it just how you wanted to do it, and you finished it up in a year and a half. And then you don't have to be in the bondage of, oh, I got to get all this done. No. I got to keep up with it so I can be done in a year. Why put yourself under that? You know, do it how you want. If it takes you 2 years to get through the Bible, okay, great. Get through the Bible. You know, and don't just throw up your hands and say, well, it's not going to work. I missed today and I missed yesterday and now I'm 3 days behind. So, oh, well. Well, what if you're 3 days late at the end of the year? Is that a big problem?
And you know one thing I like?
Catch me up. That's exactly right.
I love that on the YouVersion. When you've missed several days, just catch me up. And guess what? I'm starting over.
That's exactly right. I already done it this year on my Bible. But I'm not wired up just like Sonia and so many others that, you know, they just really want to do everything right and have everything in its right place. I'm just like, dude, no condemnation. I'm just going to keep going forward.
But see, I am that person.
Yeah.
And for me to click on the catch me up is a surrender.
You feel like you failed.
Yes.
Sonia's the same way. But you didn't fail. You're still in it. You're still in the game here. You're still moving forward. And you may not be moving forward in your speed and in your timing, but you know what? You're moving forward. And you are
that's
in
right.
God's timing. And maybe you missed those few days because he's fixing to bring something around that's going to connect perfectly with that scripture or this moment or that moment. And it's just exactly how God wanted to do it. And the devil wants to come in and condemn you because, you spent too much time watching TV instead of reading the Bible. But you know what? God's not as concerned about that as you think he is. He's concerned. Are you following me? Are you moving forward in the things that I put on your heart? I think that's what's important.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think about, especially reading those Bible in a year programs.
Yeah.
And you have to read sometimes you have to read quite a bit of verses in one day. And you're like, and then you miss one or two days. And you're like, there is no way I'm going to get back on track to get this done in time. And so we quit.
Yes, you quit, yeah.
And so then what have I accomplished?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm done.
You're done.
I quit. I'm done. And I did not read anything. And so that goes along with what you're saying is that it's okay. At least if you keep going, you're going to get it done.
You're going to get it done. And just jump in there and try to finish it as best as you can. And some people love to be in groups and do things together. I'm not in a group because I might be 2 weeks behind. I might be 2 months behind on this particular reading plan. As a matter of fact, I joined a group of pastors last year on a Bible in 1 year program. It was called, I don't remember what it's called, Read the Bible for All It's Worth or something like that. And there was so much reading in that thing. I just couldn't hack it, I guess. And it just was just draining me. And so, dude, I just sent him a little note, said, hey, good luck, guys, I'm out on this deal. You know what I mean? Just because it was just beating me up. You know,
yes.
I was not staying up with it. I was behind. And so it was becoming a condemnation to me. It began to suck the life out of me. So then I just quit going altogether, you know. And I think that's what people do. I think that's what happens is we get involved in this condemnation. And God is saying, nobody's put you. Condemnation is never from God. God wants to lift you and bring you. He wants to continually draw you in, right? And draw you closer to him. And so he's never going to say, you worthless thing. That's always the enemy, right? And so wherever you can get started, one of the things that I tell people, you want to get started with God, before you get out of your bed and put your feet on the floor, give your day to God. Say, God, I'm here. This day is for you. Whatever you want to do in me today, do it. Whatever you want me to do today to be a blessing to you today, then let's do that. And give your heart and life to God. It takes 30 seconds, takes 5 minutes, whatever you do, but give your life to God beginning in that first day, you know, every single day. And that's one of the things that it's been a practice of mine for about as long as I can remember. And I don't know why I started it, but I just start my day with Jesus. Jesus, here we go. It's a day. Whatever you want, whatever you need, you get me in the right place in front of the right people saying the right stuff.
That's for you.
And that's all it is. And then I start. And some days, I want to say and hope most days I start out and read a little bit of my Bible. But you know what? Some days I don't. Some days I'm lazy. Some days I get scrolling Facebook too long. And some days it don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's all right. I'm not going to get condemned about it. I'm going to catch up. I'm for God. I'm talking to God. And my heart's with Him. And don't let the enemy or especially flaky, funky Christians or anybody else condemn you for not being at this or being at that and being, you know, just do whatever it is that's on your heart to do, right? You know, like the women's, we have a women's ministry in our church. Sonia doesn't get to go very often. And she feels bad about that because it's just not at good times.
I'm not able to go, and I feel bad about it.
And it's the same way with the men's ministry. We have an incredible men's ministry. I very rarely go to it just because it just doesn't fit well in my schedule. If I can go, I go. If I can't go, I don't go. And I don't feel condemned about it. I'm not going to be condemned. Because has God told you to go to that women's Bible study? Did He tell you to do that? Well, if He told you to go, then He's going to give you the grace and He's going to draw you to go to it. You know, can I just get really real with you? There's been lots of times in years past, I felt really led to go to this particular study or a particular meeting. And I get to the meeting and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, this is not going to work for me.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't go back.
Right.
And it's nobody. I was teasing with our prayer ministry. I'm really telling on myself. I told the whole church this on Sunday. Like, we have a prayer team. They meet every Wednesday. They pray over the needs of the church, needs of the community, needs of the world. And I mean, they're an incredible team of intercessors and people that pray. And one night they sent out a text. I'm on the mass text for this prayer ministry. And so I agree with them and pray when I read the text. But this one particular night, a year ago, 2 years ago, they said, hey, we're having ice cream after prayer. So guess where Aaron was? I came to the prayer meeting and I prayed with the prayer team and I stayed over and I had ice cream and they're all teasing me. Oh, so you come when we have ice cream? You don't come any other time? And I said to him, I said, yep, this is my first prayer meeting I've ever been to with you guys as a team. And it'll be, well, you won't see me again until you do ice cream again. And I've never been back.
Well, at least you're honest about it.
You know what I mean? And so, does that mean I'm not for prayer? Does it mean I'm not a very good Christian? No, it just means that just doesn't work for me. I can't do that. I can't be at everything. Or here's another one. Maybe I don't want to be. Okay, is that bad? Maybe I just don't want to be at that one. You know. And here's the thing that God said. That they said, and I believe it's in the book of Philippians. It is God who works in you to do two things, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So if you don't have any willingness toward it at all, maybe it's not God's timing for you to go to that.
Oh, that's really a good thing. Because, you know, I was thinking, there's been several years ago, I was doing so many things. And it got to the point to where I was like, why am I even doing these things?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, am I doing it because God wants me to do it? Or am I doing it because I feel like I have to do it?
That's right.
And it's leading me into this place of being drained. I'm not happy. I don't have joy. I'm not going. I'm only going and doing because I feel like I have to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that goes along with what you're saying is you have to evaluate what you're doing.
That's right.
Why are you doing it? And if it's God, go with what God wants you to do.
That's right.
And don't feel that pressure of doing what somebody else wants you to do.
Absolutely. And we may be opening up a can of worms. And we've done it before. I mean, we've run with Thomas run with us 20 plus years. So we may be opening a can of worms because you'll have pastors say, well, you just need to put down your flesh and go. Sometimes you do. Sometimes there are times. Sometimes God's told you to do something and you don't really do it. You don't really want to do it. And you're like, okay, God, I do not want to do it, but I'm going to do it with you. I remember the first time God spoke to me to give $3,000. And I'm like, dear God, I ain't giving no $3,000. I don't even got $3,000 to give. And so my only prayer was, God, if you'll give me $3,000, I'll give it. But I ain't got it. 2 days later at a church service, somebody that just out of the blue, that's never given me nothing, walks up and gives me a check for, you guessed it, $3,000. And now I've got all these ideas about what that $3,000 could do for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Somebody blessed you.
Somebody blessed me. But he wouldn't give. And so now I had to say, you know what? God, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to give it like you asked me to give it. And I didn't want to do that, right? I didn't want to do it. And so there's times you had to put down your flesh and you have to do what God is telling you to do. But is God telling you to do it? Or do you just feel obligated to do it?
Well, not only that, I think we get into a vicious cycle of I'm only doing it because I want to look a certain way. I only want to do it because so-and-so thinks I should do it. I'm only doing it for the reasons that don't matter.
Yeah.
Versus God. Cause, so there is a fine line.
There is.
There is a fine line of crucifying the flesh and doing what God tells you to do. Because that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also time. Why? Why are you doing it?
Why do it?
Evaluate it.
And you've got to look at it. You've got to look at it. And just going back, it's God who works in you both to will. Do you have a will for it? If you don't have a will for it, it might not be God. Now, you might need to put it in your flesh and go, because you know in your heart of hearts and your spirit you should. But maybe if there's no willingness, no grace for it, maybe you shouldn't be there. Here's another one that goes along those lines. We're talking about giving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It says, let each man give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, in that context, it is about money. But it's not just talking about money. What's it talking about? It's talking about giving. You can give a lot of stuff. You can give money. You can give talent. You can give time. You can give ability. You can give all kinds of stuff. So if you're giving your time to something grudgingly, maybe you shouldn't give it because you're grudgingly about it. Or if you're giving your talents and abilities to someone or somebody and you're grudgingly having to do that, maybe you ought to back up, because God says it'd be better if you just didn't give at all than to do it grudgingly. And it has to do with all of giving, not just finances. But if you're giving out of yourself in any way, grudgingly or of necessity, they expect me to do it. Or if they don't do it, they're going to be disappointed in me. Or all those other things.
Or they're going to think bad of me.
They're going to think bad of me if I don't do it. That's of necessity. And God says, don't do that. Be cheerful in what you give. Now, it does not say, it says God loves a cheerful giver. It doesn't say he hates a grumpy one. So anytime we give anything for the kingdom, even if you do it with a bad attitude, you're still going to get blessing from it. You're still going to get harvest from it. But it goes a lot further if we give out of a cheerful heart. And if you're giving yourself to something, then you're not cheerful about it. There's not a good thing. It's not a good flow of grace coming from it. Then you got to step back and you got to say, is this something I really need to be involved in? Is this something I really need to be a part of? Just talking to a lady not long ago, she was just under so much stress in her job, so much stuff on her shoulders. She felt like, I got to do this. I got to keep this job for the sake of my family. But God had been dealing with her. This job is taking its toll on your heart. It's taking its toll on your physical body. You got to make a change. This job is not for you. And she fought it and fought it for like a 2-year period. And finally, she got such a conviction from God about this job that she just said, hey, I got it. You put her 2-week notice in. She put her 2-week notice in. 2 days later, a guy came with the same expertise, the same job requirements, but didn't put all the heavy deadlines and just, hey, you do what you can do, and you work according to your own schedule, and paid her the same amount of money.
Wow.
With no stress. But she never would have found it, never would have came to it if she wouldn't have laid that job down. And so many times we think that we've got it figured out when God's already saying, hey, this is something that's stealing from you. This is something that's robbing who I want you to be. And we're scared out of fear to lay it down or to stop doing it or to not have this for whatever reason. And God's saying, no, I got a better thing for you over here. I've got something more for you. But until we lay this down, we won't have any room to pick anything else up. So that's one of the reasons. God always wants the best for you. And he always wants life being poured into you,
mm-hmm.
right? All of us have done, if you follow God for any length of time, we've all done something we didn't want to do, okay? But then after we did it, and we saw how God moved and saw how things broke off of people or whatever happened, we're so thrilled we obeyed God and did what we did not want to do. Just like our church, we put our own summer camp on for the last 3 or 4 years. I did not want to do that. Right, I did not want to do it at all.
Yes.
But I said, you know what? I really feel like God's leading us to do it. So we're going to do it. We're going to believe him for the money, and we're going to do it. And, man, it has been so powerful for the kids, the teenagers,
yes,
the sponsors. It's been amazing, right? But And I'm so glad that we've done it. Now it's bringing life to us. And we're doing something a little bit different this year because we feel like God's leading us a little bit different of a way. But that's the point. Don't just do it because you've always done it. Don't get a routine. That's right. Don't just do it because your preacher told you you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. Right? What's God saying to you? You are here. I'm going to get in so much trouble. Y'all don't. I'm not giving my email address in this episode.
Maybe I don't need to give out our website either.
But I mean, you know, submit to leadership in your life, submit to authority in your life. I mean, people are submitted, it's what's bringing life to you. So take the Thomases and the Mercers. We've been in a relationship forever. They're submitted to me, but I'm just as submitted to them because I trust them.
Right.
I trust their judgment. I trust their heart. So it's not you submit to authority. It's you live a submitted life.
Mm-hmm.
What does God want to say to me? How does he want to speak to me? Right. And I've even had my kids correct me on stuff that I'm like, oh, wow, that's the Lord.
That is harsh. Sometimes, because I've had my kids treat
this. So it's like, wow, that's the Lord speaking through my own kid. That feels weird, right? And so live a submitted life. It's not about checking all the boxes so that you can feel good about yourself. It's about a heart that says, I'm toward God, and I am going to make progress today. I'm going to make progress. How about this one? In this moment, when I really want to tell this lady off that's being rude to me, but you know what? In this moment right now, I am going to choose love, and I'm going to choose peace, and I'm just going to walk away. I'm not going to respond like I want to respond. And so I'm going to win in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that as I do that, and I win moment after moment, day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, when I get to next year, when we get to 2024, I'm going to have made tons of progress. Because I chose in this moment, I'm going to do this. You know,
that's good.
And that's how you make progress. It's not looking back and saying, all year this year, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. I'm not going to miss a single Sunday all year. Yeah, you are. You're going to just be tired and you're going to sleep in and you're not going to be here. But you know what? Jesus loves you and I love you and I'll see you next week. Right?
That's right.
And there's no condemnation. Just keep moving forward.
That's right. That's right. You know, I was thinking about a story, you know, back when I was first starting my relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I really had an encounter with God. Well, what I had done is I really felt led to get on my hands and knees on the bed and just pray and just glorify him. And it was such an amazing experience. God showed up. He really touched me. And so I got up and I decided every day from the rest of my life, I'm going to get down on my knees and praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, guess how long that lasted?
Yeah.
I'd get in bed that night. Like, oh, I forgot to get on my knees. I forgot to get on my knees. And so I'd get out on the bed. Oh, Lord, I praise you. It was not the same experience.
It's not the same.
And so that's what it is. It's just keep going, keep doing. But yeah, I think about that and I laugh sometimes because I had this idea of how I wanted to continue on in that experience that I had, which it was great.
Yeah.
But I couldn't create that. That was the Holy Spirit. Yeah, just by walking through the steps. I thought because I had got down on my knees that God showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And what he did was he responded to your heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here, let me just, and I've been harping on this. And it just goes right into what you just said. It used to be, when I first got saved, the big thing was out. There was a book out called The Hour of Power or something like that.
Oh,
where,
yeah, I think I remember
that. You had
to
pray an hour or whatever, and you had to pray 1 hour, and they had a prayer based on the Lord's prayer. And I think that's all great. But I was under so much conviction because I could never make it an hour. I just tried and tried and tried. I could never make it an hour. And then I got to where I knew enough scripture that I could force myself to go an hour. But it was never a life-giving experience.
Right.
Oh, God, thank God I got that hour done.
Yeah.
You know, it was
It
was never a life-giving thing. It was never a moment where I thought, oh, I'm so glad. It was just a burden that I got to pray an hour a day. And somehow, I don't know that anybody told me this, but somehow I got it in my mind that holiness and ministry, and if you're really going to be somebody, you got to pray an hour a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got that in my heart. And so for years, it was a burden, it was a burden, it was a burden. And I don't know, probably not even that long ago, 10, 15 years ago, I thought, I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm not even going to look at the clock. I'm just going to get my Bible out. I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to sing some worship songs, and then I'm going to do that until I'm tired of doing that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's over with. And you know what? Generally speaking, when I get up and I get my Bible out, generally speaking, I go about 30 minutes. That's kind of me. I'm a 30-minute guy. I feel good about it. I feel like I met with the Lord. I feel like He spoke to me. I feel like I've been in His presence. And you know what? Sometimes I'll get going and I might go an hour. I might go an hour and a half. I might even go 2 hours. But I don't ever look at the clock. I'm not ever thinking about, oh God, how much time is left? I'm not thinking about that.
I gotta keep doing this. Yeah.
I'm just in where the life is, that God's moving, God's speaking, things are happening. So if it's 30 minutes, if it's an hour and a half, it's 2 hours, it's 3 hours, it doesn't matter because it's bringing life.
That's
so
right.
Whether it's 10 minutes, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's 3 hours, is it bringing life to you? Are you excited about it? You know, is God speaking to you? So don't trap yourself into this one. Here's another one. You got to pray in the morning. You got to get up and pray in the morning.
Before the sun comes up.
Yeah, absolutely. From the rising of the sun.
Yeah.
Who said that? Who made that up? You know what I mean? Yeah. And so do I think you should set your day like I was talking earlier? While you're laying on your bed, today's your day, Lord. I've given it to you. I'm your servant. Whatever you need me to do, I'm here. Sure, I think that's a great way to set your day, but nobody said you had to get up and pray every morning. You know, and so that's a great thing, but maybe you're a night owl. Maybe you're up at night. That's when you do your time. Maybe it's over your lunch hour. There's no set pattern. Like you were saying, you tried to recreate that particular pattern because you thought God was pleased with that pattern. God's pleased when your heart's moved toward Him. Whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the afternoon, whether it's the middle of the night, whatever it is, God is pleased when your heart and your life is moved toward Him in whatever way. And that's where you got to rest in that. God loves me. God is with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to live my life in a position that I'm moving toward Him. I'm making progress toward Him. And He's in the center of my life, right? And all of a sudden, something's happening. Something's taking place. So many times I'll go over to Shamrock and have lunch with somebody. And on my way back, I'm talking or praying. And so then I feel like the Lord said something. Or I just had an idea about a message. And then I'll jump in here in my office. And I'll spend two hours here in my office writing things down and putting some things together for a sermon series. Or maybe just something for my own life. And I would just come back from lunch. And just talking to God on the way, and he birthed all this stuff that I wasn't even thinking about. And I didn't have to make it happen. I didn't have to get in some position. I didn't have to repent from every sin I ever committed and every sin my great granddaddy ever committed and get everything right with this and get everything right with that. So that no, God is looking for every excuse to meet with you and talk to you.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And when you open that door, He'll do it. No condemnation.
And I'm glad you said no condemnation, because
that
is what keeps coming up.
Yeah.
Is condemnation. And I feel like some of our listeners out there, there's somebody saying that, what do you mean God doesn't condemn us? God expects this stuff from me. Well, what does it say? I believe it's in John 3:17, but I could be wrong. But He says He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but He came to save the world.
Yeah, but the world through Him might find salvation. That's exactly right. Listen, here's something that's going to really get people to thinking. God doesn't expect anything from you. He's God. He's going to be fine with or without you.
He doesn't
expect a thing from you, right? And that's also a marriage key. You want a strong marriage? Don't expect anything from your spouse.
That's hard.
Holy cow.
I know it.
About, right? Because just love them. Just be with them. And guess what? They'll start responding in kind. And then you don't have to have this list of requirements that they have to live up to. And then they don't have a list of requirements for you to live up to. And we're just living together, loving and walking and fighting and arguing. But we're in this love connection with each other. No requirements.
Mm-hmm.
No expectations. I love you. That's it.
That's it. I love you and I just want to have a relationship
with you.
That's right.
And that's Jesus. And that's God. And He's not going to be like some of your flaky, funky friends or maybe some ex-husbands or ex-boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever, that says, if you don't act like I want you to act, I'm leaving. If you don't do what I want you to do, I'm leaving. That's not God. God left Jesus on the cross. He said, my God, God, why have you forsaken me? He walked away from Jesus on the cross so he'd never have to walk away from you. And that's the facts. Now, you can reject him. You can walk away from him. But he's never going to walk away from you. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what's going on in your life, God will not move away from you. And he expects nothing from you.
That's right.
But he offers you an invitation to be in relationship with him.
That's right. Will you pray for our listeners?
And I will. I will definitely do that. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for each and every one of these listeners that have come in here in this place and wherever they may be, in their cars, in their places of business, laying in their bed, getting ready to go to sleep, wherever they may be. Lord, I pray that you would visit them by the Holy Spirit and you would let them know you love them and you simply want relationship with them. And so, Father, in whatever way they need to hear from you tonight, just minister to them, speak to them, mm-hmm. and let them know a relationship with you is not hard. It's not difficult. You said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mm-hmm. Help them to see that you want to give easy and light in your relationship with them. You want to bring peace. You want to bring rest and strength to their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. That is just so good. You know, we just had our small group this last Wednesday. We just started that our first night here at Cornerstone.
Yeah.
And I was reading the scripture in Mark 1, and it starts about 25, 6, 7, right in there. And as you go through there, and it's talking about Jesus, he gets up, and he goes, and he's talking to the people, he's ministering to the people, he's healing them,
mm-hmm.
he's casting out demons, and he's doing all those things. So this happens all day long.
Yeah.
He goes to bed, and which our small group is about, you know, not having a hurried life and having solitude with Jesus. Anyway, and so the point of that scripture was, which I saw something different, was that very next morning, he gets up. Before, and I think that's where we get it from.
Before
the sun came up, and he went off to a place by himself because he was being drawn. And so then the point that I want to make is, so then the disciples come looking for him.
Yeah.
And they're like, where'd you go? Everybody's looking for you.
Yeah.
They want you. And he says, nope, we're going to go to the next town.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's my mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that because I thought about those people. And which is a good thing to minister in that town.
Yeah.
And he could have went back and spent one more day with those people.
Yeah.
But he said, no, my mission is to keep going forward and to minister and to share the gospel. And that's my mission. And I'm not going back.
I'm not going back there. Isn't that such a powerful thought? Man, that is such a powerful thought that you've got to be led of God. Where are you supposed to be? What are you supposed to be doing? Well, I don't know. Well, what brings you peace? What brings you excitement? What brings you a expectancy? Like, oh, I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to do that. That's one of the things that I think is so sad for so many people. You know, we're not too far removed from the holidays. In my house, we love Christmas. We love everything about it. We get into it. I know in your house, y'all love Christmas. Y'all have a party every other weekend.
Oh,
y'all
yeah.
love Christmas. Y'all have people over. You know what I'm saying?
We love sugar cookies.
We love sugar cookies. We love the whole experience of the whole Christmas thing. But you get so many people and they're like, I can't wait for it to be over. Are you ready for Christmas? Well, I'm ready for it to be over. But you know what? That's how we live our life. Well, when I get through this, when I finally get out of college, when I finally get this job, when I finally build my retirement, when we're finally all the way to death, and we never enjoy our life, we never stop, whenever God is saying, why don't you just enjoy whatever season you're in this moment? And that's sort of what you were just saying, where God was saying, no, we're not staying there. We're going to keep moving on with Jesus.
Even though the people want me to.
Right. Even they want me to. And how many times do you have family members, do you have friends that always want to pull you back into this place where mm-hmm. you used to be, or pull you back into this place where this thing happened? And you say, no, that's not where I'm going anymore. That's not what I'm going to be about anymore. I am going to be about what brings me life and what brings me blessing and what brings me the hope, because not me selfish, but me in my position in with Jesus, my relational position with God. Where is he leading me? in this moment, in this season? Where does he want me to be in this moment and in this season? And just because he did it this way, maybe he don't want to do it that way this time. Or maybe he wants to get over here and connect you with people that you never thought you would ever want to be connected with.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets you connected with these particular people. Or he birthed this ministry you never thought you'd be in. And here you are blessing people. And so I think that is so good. And Jesus, man, that's the way he was. I mean, he loved people, but he was not going to be governed by people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the way we are. We're going to love people, but you don't get to set my agenda. You don't get to set my mood. You don't get to set who I am. And you know, I'm going to do what God, I'm going to love you, but I'm going to do what God calls me to do. And if you don't like that or you're angry about that, then sorry, I got to do what God's called me to do, right? I got to do where life is coming to me.
Yeah, what is your mission?
Now, what's your
mission? What mission has God given you?
Yeah.
And it may not look like what everybody else thinks that mission should be.
Absolutely.
But you have to go forward in that mission.
You have to go forward in it. And you know what? Maybe somebody doesn't think it's as important as you think it is. Maybe God's calling you to reach out to this particular person that maybe gets on your nerves. That's how I always figure out the ones I'm supposed to pour into, the ones that bother me the most. I'm like, I think God wants me to bless
you. I don't think anybody ever bothers you.
No.
You're not that kind of person.
you might think. But sometimes it happens. Like, you don't want to be there. You don't want to do that. And God is saying, look, I've got something here. I've got something here on the other side of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just follow me. And hey, you know what? You may have tripped up. You may have fallen. But guess what? Just get on up. Let's go. Let's keep moving toward it. And so little steps of progress every day, every moment, every day, every moment, right? And just take those little steps of progress. I can't remember what it was yesterday on the way to Amarillo. We went to Amarillo. But we were just talking about the year and talking about some of the things we had scheduled. And there was this one particular thing on our schedule that neither one of us, my wife or I, me, either one, are really looking that forward to being a part of.
Yeah.
But we're being a part of it because we're in relationships with people we really love. And we're going back and forth. And Sonia's just like, oh, I don't know about it. And we're just talking it through. We're talking it. And all of a sudden, she did, mid-conversation, breaks out into prayer. Lord, I need you to help me. You know what I mean? Because I know you're telling me to do it, but I don't want to do it, right? I don't want to be a part of it.
Yes, that makes me think of that scripture where he says, do you believe? And he says, no, help me.
I'm having some trouble here. And that's exactly what it was. So, I mean, just mid-conversation, she breaks out of, Lord, I need help. I got to get myself right concerning this. I know you want me to do it. So, guess what? Help me get into the right place that I need to be, because I'm not, thank God it's a few months down the road, but I'm not in the right place right now to do this thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I've got to get in the right place to do it. And so it's about being honest before God. You know what? I don't feel spiritual all the time.
Why do we think that we can hide things from God? We think when we're not being honest with God, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know. I don't really want to be here. I don't really want to read my Bible right now. I don't want to do this. And we think that somehow we're doing it. You know, but God is okay. Lord, please help me get through this chapter of the Leviticus. I'm having trouble. You know, whatever it is. You know,
yes.
As a matter of fact, somebody put something on Facebook the other day. If you hate Leviticus, You this, that, and other. So I put just a little funny comment. I knew him, and I put a little funny comment. That's a good video, but I still can't stand Leviticus. You know what I mean? But, and it's okay, and it's there for a purpose, and I know every bit of God's word is powerful. I'm being funny, so don't get mad at me.
Right.
But some
if there
people,
is a purpose for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, they get mad, they get upset. Don't. Just be real with God. Say, I'm struggling in this area. I'm struggling in that area. And let him pour into you grace, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He'll do it for you.
Is that like a surrender?
It is.
Because when we aren't being honest and just coming to him and saying how we're feeling, it's like we're holding that back. When God, once you say, Lord, this is how I'm feeling, okay.
Yeah.
Now that you're going to let ask me into this,
that's right.
Then we can do this together and we can deal with that.
And I think you just opened up a big key. It's what you just said a while ago, is that being honest with God and inviting Jesus in. That's another real key that I don't know where it came from. Whatever moment you're in, angry moments, frustrated moments, the moments that you just completely lose it altogether, invite Jesus into that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm struggling right now. Lord Jesus, I'm inviting you into this. I'm gone. I'm inviting you in. And anytime you invite Jesus in, he's coming. He's coming in.
It's like, okay.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's not a one-time experience. I'll come in any situation you want, but he's got to be invited.
That's right.
And I think that is such a big key. Wherever you are, wherever your feelings are, wherever your emotions are, wherever your brokenness is, invite Jesus into it, and it changes everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I just thought that verse was just so powerful as I was reading it, because it's just like, you know, thinking about that mission, and we get so caught up and not doing, you know, letting people determine what we should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jesus just wouldn't do it.
No.
He just would not do it. Lazarus is another. I'm thinking, like, dear God, I mean, how incredibly bold does a person have to be? I mean, they come to him, hey, your best friend Lazarus is dying. Can you come? Oh, I'll see. I'll get there.
Yeah, hit me. Yeah.
I'll come by sometime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then he just kind of dilly dallies around, and the guy dies. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Because sometimes somebody says, will you come to pray for my daughter? Yeah, let's go. But now he's telling his good friend, oh, I don't know, we'll see. I'll get there. I'll come.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of him, oh, this guy's dying. I mean, I always think about it. We read the Bible like they're not real stories, but like those people, they're going away like, is he coming? Is he not coming? Like, what? Did he not hear what I said? I mean, he's about to die. Why would you jump up and run out the door and let's go? But he's in peace. He's living in the flow of grace. Living in the flow of God, telling him what to do and where to go and where to be. And so probably the greatest miracle in the Bible was because Jesus didn't do what every single person alive in that moment thought he should do.
Mm-hmm.
Lazarus is dying. Let's jump up. Let's run. Let's get over there. Let's hurry. But Jesus is like, I'll come. And then it says he tarried. What does that mean? Just basically hung out. For another few days, and then it goes over, too late. But you know what? It's never too late.
That's right.
Just invite Jesus in.
That's right.
Wherever you are.
That's right. You know, I think that, as I think about that, I think we do the same thing in that same situation.
You know, all kinds of different ways and scenarios, you know, that we think, oh, this is what I have to do. This is where I have to go. That's what they expect me to do. That's what they expect me to say. That's what they expect me to be. So that's what does God expect?
Right.
He's the one you got to answer for and answer to.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. So, because I had just lost my thought. So I just remembered. Okay, so it's like, okay, something happens.
Yeah.
And let's just say, for instance, you know, let's just say you get a phone call and something really terrible has just happened.
Yeah.
We go frantic.
We do. Go nuts.
And we say, we're running around, we're throwing our things together, we got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think about Jesus in that moment didn't become frantic,
mm-mm,
but stayed in peace. And he went tragedy happens, we had to do things, but Where is our peace at?
That's it.
Where are we looking at? Are we in such a frantic mode that we can't even allow God to come into that situation, or we can't even hear what he's trying to say to us? He doesn't want us to be in that state of mind.
I think you just have probably a master key for life. Where is your peace?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you just lived at peace and in peace? And you see that in Jesus' life. All the way through scripture, his whole life, he's in the storm and everybody thinks they're going to die. Where's Jesus? He's taking a nap. Why? Because he's in peace. He's at peace. And so ask yourself, am I living at peace or am I living at the frantic edge of reality and sanity?
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't want you to live at the frantic edge of reality and sanity. He wants you to be at peace all the time, even in the storm, even in the difficulty.
What brings a person to that point of peace? Is it having that faith in that no matter what, God is in it and he's going to take care of it?
Absolutely. You just told us. You just told us what it is. It's inviting Jesus into it. If Jesus is in it, it's peace. It'll bring peace. What did they do? They all thought they were going to die. They all thought the boat was going to sink and it was all over. What did they do? They ran downstairs And God, Jesus, wake up. I need you in this.
Yes.
And so that's what we do. Jesus, I need you in this right now. I am frantically about to lose my stuff. I need you in this, right? And so we invite Jesus into it. Mm-hmm. And when we get used to that and we make that a habit in our life, then we can be in high stress situations, but we're at peace and we're resting, right? And it's just over the process of time, you learn that even though I'm in a stressful situation, I'm still at peace. I'm at a good place, right? Because why? Because I finally got it together? No, because I invited Jesus into
it. That's right. And the more you do it, I believe the easier it becomes. And it's just like with anything else, when you're building muscle or mm-hmm. when you're trying to gain knowledge, the more you do it, the better you are at it.
That's right. And the more you look forward to it, you look forward to reading the Bible, you look forward to being healthy, you look forward to this or that, because you're seeing the benefit of it, you're seeing the changes that are taking place in your life. But when we charge out, remember back when you'd run track, and I never was much of a trackster, but remember when you'd run track and the people that you, when you first started out, you'd run the 800 and 1400, and they'd say go, and some yahoo would take off in a dead sprint.
Yes.
And they would just run like a dog, and then they'd get almost halfway around the track, and then they'd,
and then they come rolling in last.
Barely making it, crawling in.
Yeah.
Because it's not about the sprint. It's about taking the next step.
It's about pacing yourself.
It's about pacing yourself.
Yeah, one step in front of the other.
That's right.
Taking one moment, one situation
right.
at a time. And that goes along with, don't worry about tomorrow, but worry about today.
Yeah.
And not that we're to worry, but what now? Right now, at this very moment, what is God showing me and telling me what to do? And that's what I'm going to do.
And that's so, and especially, here's the thing, and I know we're probably getting close to the time, but here's another thing you can do, especially when you're first starting out, and always, when you're really frantic and there's like a serious situation that's breaking loose, find a trusted friend that you can call and say, like, hey, talk to me now. I'm about to lose my stuff and I need you. I've done that with James countless times in 20 years. Hey, listen, we have got all hell breaking loose over here and I need you to talk to me about what we're doing and where we're going. And we just sit there and talk to each other for a minute until we have calmed ourselves, right? Or whatever. And you need that. In other words, don't run to your drama-filled friends when you're full of drama.
That's right.
Run to your peace-filled friends so that they can help you, right? It's like, don't pour gas on the fire. Go to somebody that's going to help calm the fire. And it's so important to have those relationships in your life.
You know, I know, like you said, we're about to run out of time here, but it makes me think of, if you need to have the type of friends, when they see you doing something you shouldn't be doing, they're willing to hit you and bring you out. Big old slap. Hello. You need to wake up.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. Absolutely. You need to do it. And I don't know how many times my wife has got right in my face and just basically said, you have got to get your crap together. I mean, that's her words. I don't want to offend anybody, but listen, you need to think about what you're saying. You're fixing to go in there and talk to them people. You better get your act together.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
And that's that form of slap like to wake
that.
You
that's
up.
Like, I remember distinctly years ago, we had a real volatile situation that we had to handle. And I was going back and forth. I didn't know how things were going to do. And I was trying to figure out ways to do it. And there was no other way. And I can remember standing in the door of my office, where we're sitting right now, standing in the door of my office. And Jake put his hand on my shoulder. And he said, the bottom line is, we're going to have to do what we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it just woke me up. It's like, all right, we'll have to do it. And you need people in your life that just tell you. The quicker we do it, the quicker we're going to get past it. So you can sit here and analyze it and re-talk it. But bottom line is, you're going to have to do what you don't want to do.
That's right.
You know, and that's happened sometimes. But the main thing is what brings you life? What does? And we both knew that's what God was telling us to do. We just didn't really want to do it. But guess what? Through it all, everything worked out perfectly. People got blessed. People were added to the church. Things happened in a perfect way because we did what God asked us to do. And that's the bottom line. And when you're struggling, invite Jesus in first and foremost. Find that trusted friend. Invite them in. And they'll get you through anything if you just give them the opportunity to do it.
That's right. And I think that's a good way to end the show. We want to encourage you to do that very thing this week.
That's right.
And if you mess up, it's okay. Get back up and keep on going.
Amen.
And so we just pray y'all have a blessed week this week, and we will tune in next week.
Johnny!